2 weeks from today, we will be starting a foundations class, Foundation of Christian Living, and I will be teaching that class, and that will be at 9:30 till 10:30. So I would love to have those of you that have never taken that class from me to come and join me for that class 2 weeks from today. As has been my pattern for the last several weeks, for some reason, I'm not getting through my messages. And there's so many things that I'm trying to get across, and yet, I want to make sure I'm thorough. I appreciated the Sunday school emphasis that Brother Patrick gave this morning. It's so important that we understand the text of Scripture. A text without context is a pretext. A text without understanding causes us to say God said when He didn't say it. So we want to make sure that we understand the Word of God. Now, last week we had begun a message on the child's submission to parents. And so as a result of that, I wanted all of our children to hear this, because I'm preaching to everyone, of course, but I'm preaching to you as well. And then I also would like to emphasize that today we're going to finish that message. And Brother Patrick, do I have the clicker up here? Oh, it's right over here. Thank you. Because I am going to preach and use a little bit of visual aid. Hopefully this will help our children a little bit to follow along. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, within the context, we are talking about making sure that we are walking circumspectly. He had told us in the beginning of the chapter to walk in love. He told us to walk in light. And he tells us here in verse 15 to walk circumspectly. And we do that by not walking as fools, but as wise, by redeeming the time, by making sure we understand what God's will is. Now, those are very important subjects that we need to understand. But you cannot walk circumspectly in your own strength. We're told in verse 18 that we are not to be filled with wine or drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. That affects our music, verse 19. It affects our attitude of thankfulness in verse 20, and it also affects our submission to relationships. All of us have authorities, and ultimately, God is our authority. Well, he illustrates that and applies that to husbands and wives, chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. He applies that, secondly, to children and parents, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And then he also applies that to being servants and masters, which we understand, and we'll see when we get to that, it applies to employer-employee relationships. So it's important that we understand that really when we're talking about wives submitting to their husbands, we're talking about a Spirit-filled wife. Because only Spirit-filled wives can do that. We're talking about husbands loving their wives. We're talking about Spirit-filled husbands. Because only Spirit-filled husbands can really do that. Well, when we're talking about children and children's obedience to parents, we're talking about Spirit-filled children. So it's important that we understand, and we began last week by talking about the magnitude of a child's submission to parents. And what we found is that it's a very big deal, because the way your children behave is going to have an impact on them for the rest of their lives, and it's going to affect how they go through life. And it's going to affect society. And we talked about that. And we saw that this is huge. Secondly, we saw the meaning of a child's submission to parents. Now, let's read it. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Can we all say that together? Let's read verses 1 through 3 together. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So what we find here is that we have obedience. Obedience, if you remember, we saw, is the word which means to hear under. Remember I hit my head on the pulpit last week? How many remember that? You may not have heard another thing I said, but you saw me do that. You said, I didn't see that. Well, because you weren't here. That's why. So, it's important that you understand to hear under. That means when my authority speaks, I'm listening and I respond to that. And I obey that. You ought not have to give a command 10 times with an elevated voice where the child finally realizes they're serious. They should hear immediately. And that's what it means to obey. And not by coercion, not by force, but because their parents said so. We saw not only the meaning of the word obedience, but we saw the meaning of the word honor. And of course, he is quoting here in chapter 6, verse 2, two portions of the Old Testament where the Ten Commandments are given. Exodus 20, verse 12, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. And the word honor in the Hebrew has the idea of giving weight to. In other words, when I honor someone, I give serious weight to what they say. And in the New Testament, the word has the idea of giving value. So we could say, and I agree with Ted Tripp in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, that when a person honors, he treats with respect and esteem because of the role of their authority. There's an honor to that. You never outgrow that. And you as a child have parents. If you're an adult child, you still need to honor your parents. That doesn't mean you obey them like you did as children, because the Bible talks about leaving and cleaving. But there is a sense in which you do honor. Now, negatively, we saw what dishonor is, or negatively, what does it mean to not honor? Well, it involves stubbornness, and it involved despising appearance and mocking and cursing and hitting parents, creating conflict in the house, being disobedient, and even as adults dishonoring our parents by failing to provide for them. Now, on a positive note, we saw that the Bible gives examples of children who obeyed their parents. Joseph, we saw David, we saw Solomon and Elisha, and how even Jesus, he submitted himself to imperfect parents because he was their child. And of course, we understand the relationship that Jesus had with Mary and with his stepfather, Joseph, because God was his father. But what I wanted to deal with, thirdly, and this is basically the subject of our message this morning, And that is the motivation for a child's submission to parents. So why should you, young people, obey and honor your parents? Now, if you notice what I have up here, obedience and honor to parents. First of all, let me just say that the one reason that is right away in verse 6 is a spiritual reason. It is spiritual for children to obey their parents. And because it is spiritual, they ought to obey. Now notice here in verse 1, children, obey your parents, how? In the Lord. So this is obeying your parents. Why? Because in obeying your parents, guess who you're really obeying? Okay, I was real weak. Okay, and I'm glad you got it, because some of you didn't know the answer. But the answer is who? So if I am obeying my parents as a child, really, the bigger reason I should obey my parents is because I'm obeying God. God is the authority in my life. It's not whether or not you like your parents. It's not in respect of whether you agree with your parents. It's not whether you have been given a reason for their giving you that command. Or whether, and it's not whether or not if I don't do it, I'm going to get a whooping. Or I'm going to have to be disciplined. That's not the ultimate reason. But as a Christian, you are under the Lord. Now let me ask you, young people, every young person, pull away from the paper and look at me. Okay, I'm looking at you. Aha! I'm glad I see a smile and not a crying. All right. Okay. It is important that you are a Christian. Now, what is a Christian? Someone says, well, a Christian goes to church. Well, that's what Christians do. But that's not what makes a Christian. You say, well, Christians get baptized. Well, that's what Christians do, but that's not what makes them a Christian. I don't have everybody's eyeball. I'm losing them. Let me ask you a question, if you're old enough to understand this. If you died right now, would you go and live with Jesus forever? You say, I don't know. Well, let me tell you how you can know. The Bible says that if you understand that you are a sinner, you say, oh no, that means if I say I'm a sinner, I'm going to get in trouble. No, what I mean by that is you have every eyeball on me. I'm losing eyeballs. All right? That means that you understand you've done bad things. You disobeyed mommy and daddy. You've done things that you shouldn't have done. Maybe you lied. Maybe you disrespected your parents. Maybe you said some things that were bad. The Bible says you're a sinner. And as a sinner, the Bible says that there's a payment for that. And the payment for that is not getting to go and live with Jesus. It means living away from Jesus for the rest of your life or for all eternity. And just because your parents are Christians doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be personally responsible in your life. Eyeballs. All right? I don't have everyone's eyeball. Should say balls, eyeballs. All right, maybe I need to get down here. Okay. So, the Bible says that if you, as a sinner, die that way, because you could die that way, you could be very young and die that way. And if you die that way, if your parents are Christians, you'll never get to see your parents again. Forever. But let me also say, Jesus loves you. And Jesus died on the cross for you. And He wants you to understand that He died for you. He made it possible for you to go to heaven when you die. But guess what? If you're under 8 years old, raise your hand. How many do not know how old you are? All right. Now listen to me. The Bible says you have to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Your parents can't do it for you. You have to ask Jesus to save you. Now, all you adults, listen to me. The same is true with you. You must accept Jesus to be your personal Savior. And the Scripture says, when you become a Christian, that means you've accepted Jesus to be your personal Savior. Now, how many have accepted Jesus to be your Savior? Everyone raise your hand who's done that. Okay, if you've done that, I didn't look at everybody. If you have done that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in you. Jesus comes and lives in you. God the Father comes and lives in you. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, what that means is you don't argue with God. Everyone's eyeballs on me. All right? That means that you say, yes, Lord. And a Spirit-filled child will, okay, all your children, listen to me. They just think I said I was preaching to them. Okay. If you are a child of God, it is important that you obey your parents immediately, without argument, without excuses, that you obey your parents without questioning them. Why? Because that's what God wants. God wants you to obey them. Now, if you have never asked Jesus to save you, we'd love to talk to you, any of you, even the adults, to come to Christ. Because it's a wonderful thing to know that when Jesus comes into my life, it changes everything. So the Scripture tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, He rose again, and whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have what? Ever. All right, so I'm not making this up. Everybody here already knows that verse, most of you. So, why should you obey your parent? Because it's spiritual. It's in the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. Now, as a wife, I do this for the Lord when I submit to my husband. As a husband, I'm doing this for the Lord to love my wife. And children, it is spiritual. Number two, it is moral. Okay, now you say, what does that mean? Well, there's such a thing as morality, that which is right and that which is wrong. Is it right to obey your parents and to honor your parents? Is it? Well, it tells us right there in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? You tell me why. For it's right. So, you may think you're right. You may think you are smarter than they are. You may think you've got them figured out. And somebody else comes along and says, you know, you don't really have to submit to your parents, do you? You're one of those kind of people that obeys and what mommy says you have to do. Or what daddy says you have to do. And they say, you don't have to do that. They're wrong. They're wrong. It is right to obey and honor your parents. Now again, as we said last week, we're not suggesting that a parent who abuses or does something that's terribly wrong biblically against their children, that a child has to obey in that situation. But for all those things, that, you know, if you got a parent that is trying to do the right thing, you need to obey them. You need to obey them. And it is right. Sometimes people come along and they'll say, and I want to quote Pastor Mark Minnick. He says, some people say that it's right to live more loosely than your parents or to rethink the conviction in which your family has reared you. He says, you will find yourself thinking that there is nothing wrong with what you're wanting to do. And he says, the fact is, you may be correct if you were talking about that thing in itself in a vacuum. He says, the thing itself may not be wrong in and of itself scripturally, but what is the thing that makes it wrong for you is when you look at your parents and say, I am not going to do it. Even if sometimes you may think they're wrong in thinking that. Minnick says, have you ever really grasped, young people, that there may be things in your family that will be required to you by your father that somebody else's family may not require it? Have you ever thought of that? Parents, have you ever thought of that? That sometimes you're asking things, commanding things that other families are not doing? And that child thinks, well, it's okay then because my parents are narrow. Minnick says it is entirely appropriate and your father has the spiritual authority to rule his family. And that, in fact, really will be the true test of your obedience. Because who are you listening to? Are you listening to your parents? Are you listening to society? Are you listening to your parents or are you listening to YouTube or are you listening to the internet? The fact is, sometimes it's good when a parent sometimes demands certain things that other families aren't doing because it gives the child a test as to who they're really listening to. It's when no one else's voice seconds what your dad is saying that you find out whose voice you're responding to. Minnick says, under God's providence, maybe the whole reason God has put you in that situation is to test you. Maybe many of your friends get to do things you don't get to do. Maybe they let their children be unwise with their money. Or maybe they allow their children to stay up late. Or to watch all kinds of television that is inappropriate. Maybe they allow them to have a cell phone. And sometimes, some parents say, no, you're not having that. Yeah, but my friends have it. Well, whose voice are you listening to? Here under the authority of your parents. And for some reason, maybe your parents have asked you not to do certain things. And at that time, you may have to remind yourself that hearing their voice is the right thing. And I'm going to quote one more thing that Minnick says. He said, I want to warn you, young people, you will always be able to find Christian people who will support your viewpoint against your parents. And just because somebody else has a different viewpoint, and you hear that viewpoint, you get to thinking, well, it must be okay. No. It's wrong, because your parents are your authority. Why should you do that? Because it's right. Well, the third thing I want you to see is that not only, and this is the reason why you need to obey your parents, because it's spiritual, because it is morally right, and because it's beneficial. Now, I want you to think about this. It's to your best interests to submit to your parents. Now, we're told here in the passage in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. All right, so this is a given a promise. Now, Exodus 20:12 says that thy days may be long upon the land. We looked at that last week. Deuteronomy 5:16, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. Now, notice here, look at the verse. This is why you want your children watching the Bible. Look at chapter 6. Verse 3, if you obey and honor your parents, in referring to the Ten Commandments, that it may be what? What is that? That it may be well. Now, I want you to think about this. That the Scripture tells us that it's to your best interest. That it may do, that you may be well. And so here you have, okay, all you little ones, there you are. See you up there? How many see you up there? That's not me. This is a picture of you, okay? And Dave says it's him. Okay. All right. All right. Obey and honor. Why? So that it would go well with you. Now, this is the circle of blessing. Now, I got this from Ted Tripp in Shepherding a Child's Heart. You ought to read that. If you're a parent, you need to read that. You can get online and you can see his lectures on how to raise children. We'll talk about raising children when we eventually get to verse 4. But he shows here that there's this circle of blessings. So if you can imagine that you have this young person, if they obey and if they honor, things are going to go well for them. Now, it helps ensure that you will have the good life that the whole world is wanting. And that it represents that what the world represents is throwing off restraints or throwing off rules is just the opposite of what God says. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. Now, somebody that doesn't believe the Bible, they might say, well, that's not true. But it is true. And the Scripture tells us that the way to have the good life and the way to ensure that it is well with you is to honor and obey your parents. Because they have your best interest in heart. And I've often tried to explain to children that no one loves them like dad and mom. And people will throw that away. Now, whether you agree or even believe that still does not change the fact that you need to honor and obey them. Ted Tripp says, the natural and spiritual blessing of obedience is what is spoken here. Actually, the word means to be well off, to be prosperity, acting well. And Tripp says, the blessings of prosperity and protection, richness and fullness of life that God provides for the child that lives under his structure of authority. So, in other words, what he's saying is this. He said, now, if you are, from a spiritual standpoint, it does well. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, have you ever done a study on how many crimes committed in the Old Testament resulted in the death penalty? At least 16 plus. But let me give you three of them. It tells us that there is a sense in which it is going to hurt you in the Old Testament. Now, we're not under the Old Testament theocracy, but in the Old Testament theocracy, you could die. We're told in Exodus 21:15, he that smiteth his father and mother shall be put to death. We're told in Exodus 21:17, he that curseth his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy 2:18-21 says, a stubborn, rebellious son, the men of the city shall stone him and they will die. That's not a good thing. God says, it's not good for you. It is not good for you to disobey. So if you honor and you obey, it will go well. But then we're told in verse 3, and thou mayest do what? Live long. So certainly under the Old Testament theocracy, the death penalty would not allow them to live too long. But it's important that we understand what that means. That means that there is a sense in which that a person that disobeys their parents, it could have fatal consequences. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Have you ever considered Eli in the Old Testament? Eli's sons, they hearkened not to the voice of their father, so the Lord would slay them. All right, so we have to understand, what does it mean to live long? Does that mean then that good, obedient children don't die until they're old? No, it doesn't mean that. Because unfortunately, in our perspective, a child could die at a young age. And not necessarily because of disobedience to parents. But what this does mean, that the godly, that the disobedient child may not live out the life God intended for him. Now, the scripture tells us that James was a godly man and he died. Peter lived. So the godly do not always live longer than the ungodly. So the scripture does not teach that. But it does teach that a disobedient child may not live out the life that God intended for him. Question. How many of you think you're going to live to be 95? We don't know that. How many of you think you're going to live to be 25? Is everybody older than 25 raise their hand? Is there appointed time to die? We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. Luke chapter 12, verse 20 says that the rich fool, he says, "Today thy soul shall be required of thee." We're told in 2 Kings 21, Hezekiah had a set time he was going to die. And every one of us need to understand that one day we're going to die. But here's another question. Have you ever studied this? Can a person die sooner than God originally intended for him to do? You say, "I don't know if I know the answer to that." Is it possible you could die sooner than what God originally intended? Now, we obviously understand that God in His might and omniscience knows all things. But there is a sense in which we see in the scripture that people could die because of sin. For instance, turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to leave Ephesians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now, I want you to note with me verse 16. Okay? "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. But there is a sin unto death." So in other words, you could commit a sin that would cause you to die. 1 Corinthians 3, you don't need to turn there. It says that if any man defile the temple of God, and that's probably speaking about the church, then it says that God will destroy him. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, those who took of the Lord's Supper carelessly because of their sin, they died. Now, if you go to your Bible, did Adam and Eve, did they die sooner than God intended for them? Did they? Sure. If they had not sinned against God, they could have taken of the tree of life. So God says, remove that out of the garden. So the person who sins, he shall die. What about Aaron and Moses? God said, because of your sin, you will not enter into the promised land. And so they died prematurely. How many have ever heard of Achan? Achan, in the book of Joshua, chapter 25, says that because his sin, he was stoned to death. How many have ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? Acts chapter 5. Because of their lying to the Holy Spirit and to Peter, which was the authority in his life, the Bible says that God killed Ananias. He killed Sapphira. So we can look at the Bible and we say, well, why would God give this idea of if you obey your parents, you can live long on the earth? Because the Bible is trying to strike a note of fear. It is terrible, terrible when children rebel against parents. And the scripture tells us that we are to give God the glory. And we are to make it a point to show to others that we are going to obey our parents. And this is why, and I went through a long detail of this, because I'm not trying to entertain you, I'm trying to show you the Bible, that God has told us that there is a circle of blessing. That God said that if a child would obey his parents and honor his parents, it would go well with him and he would live out the life God intended for him. Now, what about young people when you decide to disobey your parents? You know what you're doing? You jump outside of that circle. And when you jump outside of that circle, it is the responsibility of your parents who love you to get you back into that circle. Hudson Taylor, I quoted last week, said that I have never known disobedience to the clear command of a parent to be blessed of God. Minnick says, I want to solemnly warn you that very seldom does anyone counter authority of any kind in his life without running the risk of damaging himself. And even when we are in the right and our authority is wrong, it's almost impossible to go against the authority without damaging yourself. And this is why in your Bible, David would not stretch forth his hand against Saul. So my question to you, do you obey? Your eyeballs, look at me. Do you obey your mom and daddy? Do you? Do you obey? Do you honor them? Do you? If you do, I can hear you whispering. When you do, it's important that you understand that when you obey, God says you're setting yourself up for the good life. You're setting yourself up for the long life. And the Bible tells us that the most loving thing your parents or grandparents can do in raising their children or grandchildren is to teach them to obey and to honor. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us this time that we have had. And we ask, Father, that you would just be with our children. I know it's hard for them sometimes to sit still long enough, especially to sit and listen to a sermon. But Lord, it is important that they submit and pay attention. And I ask, God, that you would just strengthen each individual here. And Lord, if there be somebody here that is not 100% sure when they die, they can go to heaven, I pray that they would be saved. And I hope that if there be someone here that is saved and you need to deal with the Lord, maybe just say, God, help me to submit to my mom and my dad. And whether you're an adult or a child, if God is leading you to come to Christ, we have an altar here in the front. And if God is dealing with you and you'd like to just come and kneel at the altar and deal with the Lord, if God is dealing with you, as the pianist plays, I hope that you will come. Let's stand to our feet, no one looking around, Christians praying. God is dealing with you and you need to come, you come. All to Jesus I surrender. So that's a submitted life. And if there'd be anyone here this morning, say, you know, there's one area in my life I'm not submitting to God. If that's the case, you cannot be a submitted Christian. You can look this way. I hope you'll come back this evening. Pastor Nathan will be preaching in Psalm. I just probably need to look at your sheet. I'm sorry. Psalm 92. And I hope that you'll come back this evening. And Lord's Supper tonight, choir, we need to meet. I'm going over our song for a Sunday morning. So as God is dealing with you, and I hope you'll be involved in the Lord's work. I do want you adults, pray for our children. They're up against it. Our society is wreaking havoc on our children. And we need to pray. I can hear you whispering. Thank you for whispering, though, instead of speaking out loud. Okay? Okay. And I hope that you'll pray for our children. See, Max is hiding her. That's why she thinks she can get away with it. You got to hear my voice, not my sight. Okay. So let's pray for our young people. Pray for our parents. Terrible advice out there in the area of parenting. And let's pray for one another that the Lord would work in our hearts. Father, we thank you so much. Bring us back this evening. May you be honored. May you be glorified. Thank you for allowing our children to come and sit in on these services. And we'll praise you for it for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.